Nitin Sawhney's family came from the Punjab, but he was born in London and grew up in Rochester in Kent, as we will hear. And that really lies behind his first really successful album, Beyond Skin. It's 20 years old, and he is revisiting it in live performance. He's doing it in Australia at the moment. We'll talk to Nitin Sawhney in a moment. Let's listen to Immigrant.
Possibly they advertised in the local newspapers in Delhi that they are encouraging for people to come down here and work. And then we went to the embassies. They showed us Kew Garden pictures and pictures of the various parts of England, that it is all that beautiful and everything is just right. And that's what we just applied for the voucher.
Destiny falls. This timeless insecurity I feel makes me restless inside. Will you take me there to a distant place I've never been before? I could leave this world, I could follow you like oceans to the shore. Rain falls, the day breaks over endless streams. You know where my rivers will flow.
That's a little of Beyond Skin, I suppose now classic album from Nitin Sawhney. And we heard on that track, Immigrant, the singing of Sanjita Farooq. And we also heard Nitin's father's voice. Maybe I could ask you, first of all, Nitin, welcome back to the music show, to tell us about that particular track before we discuss Beyond Skin a little more widely.
Sure. You're right. You heard my father speaking at the beginning of the track. But there's another singing voice on there of a fantastic Bengali singer called Jayanta Bush as well as Sanjita Farooq. But my dad, I interviewed him for the album as well as my mum at the time, way back in, about 1998, 99. Yeah, I wanted to kind of really get a personal framing for a lot of the tracks and for the feeling of the album. So it kind of helped with the narrative structure of the album, what it represented. So it was good to talk to them.
And what did the album represent for you 20 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, as the title indicates, it's really about, well, it's lots of levels. It's, you know, looking at the idea of Beyond Skin, symbolising, you know, looking beyond what is on the surface, but also thinking in terms of race and identity, religion, and really, yeah, mainly it's a reflection on the nature of identity. I mean, it starts with, the album begins with the Indian Prime Minister of the time, Vajpayee, who was the head of the, or the leader of the fundamentalist party, the BJP, and he was very proudly announcing that on the first track at the opening of the album that they had tested three nuclear bombs in the Pokhran range. And I found it quite ironic that this person who was the bastion, you know, who was the leader of the Hindu fundamentalist party, was talking about nuclear power in such glowing terms and very proud of that in a very nationalistic way. And then at the end of the album, it ends with Oppenheimer, who was the creator of the bomb, the person in charge of the Manhattan Project, who's obviously a German-descended American physicist and scientist who was actually condemning the nuclear bomb that he created and crying as he did so in the name of Hinduism. He was actually quoting from the Bhagavad Gita and saying that he felt like he'd become Death, the destroyer of worlds, and that he'd become Vishnu in his multi-armed form. And so I found it quite interesting that there was a paradox there, that you began the album with somebody who's supposedly quoting, who's supposed to be the leader of a religion, you know, talking about how wonderful it is to have nuclear bombs, and then the person who created the bomb itself actually condemning it in the name of the same religion, which I think for me kind of encapsulated what the album was about, which is the hypocrisies and paradoxes of nationality and religion in the way we identify ourselves.
Yes, and it literally encapsulates the album, doesn't it? Because yeah, we hear Vajpayee at the beginning and we hear Oppenheimer at the end. So we've kind of done a complete slow flip during the course of the album. But it's not just about that, is it? I mean, it's about all sorts of different identities. And we hear a lot about, there are always people railing against identity politics, aren't there, at the moment? And I suspect that you're not a fan of them yourself.
No, not really. I mean, I guess identity politics is quite an amorphous concept. Well, I guess I've only got one rule, which is what I've always said, that every human being is of equal value regardless of where they come from or who they are, or we're all born of equal value. I guess some people devalue themselves in the nature of how they behave and what they do or don't contribute to society. But I think ultimately, you know, my belief is that we're all born equal, and that it's strange because that view has become politicized by the nature of the world that we live in. And I think particularly right now, I feel that we need to be outraged every day, personally speaking, by what is going on in the world, because I feel that perspective, which to me is a default perspective, a human perspective, seems to be out of sync with the way in which the world is run.
And there's also the irony that most of the people who you hear objecting to identity politics are the very people who invented identity politics by saying in the first place, you can't come here or you can't do this job because you've got the wrong colour skin or you're the wrong gender or you're the wrong sexuality or something.
This is the thing. That's why Beyond Skin's very much about challenging people who project their own insecurities onto others, as opposed to actually seeing people for who they really are. And Beyond Skin is really a cry for identity. I mean, the cover of the album is actually a plaster cast of my head screaming, and the whole idea is to scream to be heard for who you are and not for how others choose to recreate you.
Tell us a little, if you would, about growing up. Growing up as part of an Indian family in Rochester in Kent, and finding your own identity, or was it not something that you actually ever needed to look for?
Well, I guess I always questioned my identity because it was very difficult not to do that in an area which was, I mean, I was the only Asian person in my area, really. So it was very difficult for me to feel like I could relate to much. And as a result, I had two identities. I had the person that I was at, you know, that I was at home, and then the person that I was at school. And I think in order to survive, I guess, because I had a lot of racist attacks. I mean, the area I grew up in there was a very strong far-right party called the National Front there, who were very aggressive. And so it was at the time skinheads attacking Asians all the time. So I was frequently attacked and experienced a lot of racism. So I guess, you know, it was important for me to try and figure out what my identity was and to try and reconcile myself to it in order to kind of, yeah, just to get by, really.
And now, of course, you're a commander of the British Empire. So there is another journey.
I have to tell you, it's even weirder than that. It kind of goes into Bill and Ted territory, in that the actual title is Commander of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire, which I find hilarious. But that happened this year. A long time ago, I turned down an OBE because of the war in Iraq, and because I really didn't actually want the word empire after my name. But what happened was, at the time, my dad was very sad, and he said, look, this is an indication of how far we've come as immigrants to this country to receive this. And he said, you know, you're not being very kind or thoughtful in refusing it, because somebody must have put you up for this. And we argued a bit, and I just said, I can't put empire after my name. And sadly, he died in 2013, and he always had said, would you take it for my birthday? And so this letter came on his birthday last year. And so as a result, I thought, okay, I do believe in science, so I took this. And then, the investiture, it was presented to me on May the 9th, which was my mum and dad's wedding anniversary. So my mum came, and it was, it was nice. It was a good thing. I mean, I'm not walking around with CBE all over me, tattooed on my forehead, but it's an interesting thing to have been given.
And if you're going to have empire after your name, being a commander of the empire is probably the best way to go, I think.
I don't know. The word commander is quite scary, isn't it? I mean, commander in chief is what Donald Trump is as well. It means that you can press the nuclear button. But there you go.
Which is where we came in, really, isn't it? Let's talk. You're listening to The Music Show on RN. My guest is the composer and multi-instrumentalist Nitin Sawhney. And we're talking to him on the 20th anniversary of the album Beyond Skin, which you were revisiting. Why did you want to do that, and how are you doing it?
I feel kind of sad in some ways that it feels even more relevant now than it did when I created it. I mean, it's the issues and the subjects are still being discussed now. I wish they weren't so relevant in a lot of ways. I would have thought we would have moved on and be a lot clearer about recognizing the value of people as having intrinsic worth, as opposed to having to constantly justify why people from immigrant backgrounds should have, be validated all the time. But I wanted to make that statement again, particularly, in England at the moment. We've got Brexit going in, which just feels like a madhouse. I mean, it's just a farce to me to watch these people. I cannot believe that the garbage that I'm seeing every day on our TV screens, and then just hypocrisy, lies, constant confusion, nonsense being spoken all the time. It's just absolutely ludicrous to watch. So and this is what I mean. You've got that going on, then you've got Trump making the most bizarre statements. I mean, this morning I was reading a letter from him to Erdogan in Turkey, which was one of the weirdest things I've ever read. Just a bizarre letter. I mean, I kind of feel like the lunatics have taken over the asylum, but, there you go.
What about the music after all of this time?
Let's get back to music.
We will come back. I want to come back to Brexit as well. Although we have to be careful what we say about Brexit. I should explain to our listeners that we're having this conversation on Thursday morning, and in 2 days when it goes to air, anything could have happened. And so our conversation may be completely out of date, but we'll save Brexit. Coming to the music of Beyond Skin, how does it seem after 20 years? Is it recognisably you, or does it seem like some sort of artifact that you've discovered and could have been made by somebody else?
Yeah, I guess it's like looking back at an old diary entry, really. So it was very personal to me. I made it in my bedroom, bizarrely, because it received some awards for sound quality, which surprised me, because I mixed it on a Kenwood stereo system. But I kind of made it at the time in a combination of my living room and bedroom. And but I enjoyed it. It feels still like an epic statement. It was incredible to play at the Royal Albert Hall the other day in its entirety, which was the first time I'd ever done that, to a full house of 5,000 people, with my mum there. And it was very emotional. So it still has an emotional resonance for me because of what it was. It still feels very nostalgic to listen back to it, particularly listening to my dad's voice and his optimism and his belief in an ideal that was sold to him as an immigrant. And so I kind of feel very proud of the album still and still loved engaging with it and still do.
And how has it changed? I mean, I assume if one goes along to the concert, it's not going to be like listening to the CD.
No. I mean, well, first of all, that it's a smaller group of musicians that I've got with me than I did. I mean, with the Royal Albert Hall, we have 35 people on stage. I had a choir and strings and all kinds of stuff. But it's kind of, I still think it's a very strong unit of musicians. You'll see the caliber of them and the singers. They're all unbelievably skilled. And so I'm very proud to kind of present this here. We performed it in Dublin very recently with this exact lineup and got a standing ovation there as well, which was really nice. So I feel very excited to bring the same show here.
Yes. Well, identity, I suppose, is an issue everywhere. Let's come back to Brexit, because one of your more recent pieces is an oratorio involving the actor Andy Serkis, not as the Gollum, but as Theresa May.
That's right. Well, he kind of managed to merge the two quite impressively. And on a drunken night, I'd rewritten the lyrics to Bohemian Rhapsody. So, as you do. And I sent that to him the following day. And so he liked those and did that. It was based around Brexit. But that was a kind of encore thing. The main thing that I was doing at the Barbican was a commission from Sky Arts to write a new national anthem. And so it was kind of inevitable that I would bring in the whole, you know, Brexit madness. And so I called it a rational anthem for a national tantrum. That's what I called it. Yeah, so I kind of did that. And yeah, it was fun to do. I mean, again, we got a really, really good response there. Yeah, it's something that I kind of might bring back depending on what happens next.
Well, that's right, or at least revise it.
Yeah, quite.
But you sort of got to wait for things to sort of finalise, otherwise you could be revising it for the rest of your life, couldn't you?
Well, that feels like a possibility in many ways, actually.
We're going to hear The Conference, which is another track from Beyond Skin. Tell us about what happens in this. Tell us in particular, would you, Nitin Sawhney, about the vocalisation, some of which are yours.
Yeah, so this is based on, within Indian classical music, you have spoken rhythms, which are based on the sounds or the syllables that are spoken along with the way in which you strike a percussion instrument called the tabla. And also it coincides with the footwork of Kathak dancers. Someone I've worked with extensively is Akram Khan, for example, who's been here with me as well to Australia a couple of times. And he's an amazing exponent of this particular form of dance called Kathak. So I'm using a combination of Kathak spoken patterns and tabla rhythms in the way I created this. The opening part of it is actually taken from a well-known guru called Birju Maharaj, who's from the Jaipur Gharana, which means school of Kathak dance, which is an Indian, North Indian classical form of dance. So yeah, kind of, it's using all of those rhythms and it's very cross-rhythmic when we perform it live, which we will be doing at the shows. You'll see how it works, and it's quite an explosive interplay between voices.
And do you have to be a tabla player to do this? Or I mean, you presumably don't just learn the vocals in isolation.
Well, it helps a great deal to understand tabla in order to know how to pronounce the syllables and to get the speed of the syllables, but at the same time, and also to understand the rhythms. But yeah, I mean, I've taught it to people who don't play the tabla. For example, Nikki Wells in the band, she actually can recite this perfectly. So, but again, she's a rather exceptional musician, singer.
Yeah, but anyway, armed with that, if she ever does want to take up the tabla, she's very well prepared, isn't she?
Absolutely, and I've seen her have a go a few times, and she seems to be pretty good, yeah.
Nitin Sawhney, thank you very much for being my guest again on The Music Show. It's been nice to catch up with you.
Thank you. ticket
That's from Beyond Skin, music by Nitin Sawhney, and he's performing the album tonight at the Home of the Arts on the Gold Coast, and tomorrow he's at the Melbourne International Arts Festival.